Book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 18. I'll have you know that I managed to get the smushed carrots on my fork and into the garage, all right. No spills that I know of. Now it's my opportunity to put my brother-in-law into some of my illustrations. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens, and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought, or he worked with them, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Now, verse 18. And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence unto Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. And then down to verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, Romans chapter 16. Book of Romans chapter 16. Verse 3. Romans 16, verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. What I have in my heart today is a couple for Christ. Now, maybe automatically you might think, okay, well, I can certainly point out some other people this ministry is for because I am not a couple. And I'm looking at the front row of some young men and young ladies around here as well. I hope this ministry isn't just narrowed down just for couples, and I hope if there's couples here today, you might be encouraged by it. But if you're going to be a couple someday, I hope you take to heart what I'm going to share with you. Because of how important it is to find a partner that has the same spiritual interest. Because you only could imagine if, let's say, Aquila had a great spiritual interest, but Priscilla did not. Would he be as effective? I certainly don't think so. And vice versa. If Priscilla had a desire to serve God, but Aquila just wasn't really on with it and was kind of pulling her back, how effective would she have been? Not as effective as they were together. So as a couple here together, we have a couple that is dedicated and devoted to Christ. Could only imagine what that verse in the Apostle Paul says, and often thought of it, how he says, and I have watered, no, I have planted, and Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Behind that verse, I see pretty much a large portion of the book of Acts, don't you? The Acts of the Apostle, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And these are men that were working, and as they were working, sharing the gospel in this place, and sharing the gospel in this place, behind the scenes was a couple. Behind the scenes of Paul, and maybe when he was weak and was discouraged, there was a couple that were there to encourage him. Maybe where there was moments when Paul was without any funds and couldn't go any further, could hardly even eat. There was a couple there to help him along and give him some work. And Apollos, who was having troubles with all the teaching and trying to comprehend it all, there was a couple. If you take Priscilla and Aquila out of the book of Acts, what do you see? I see a home that would be greatly missed. I see Apostle Paul and he says, these are my fellow workers, my fellow helpers. They're the ones that laid down their neck for me, not just me, but also for all the Gentile churches. It would be greatly missed. And if you are a couple in an assembly right now, just to be good for all of us, just to think for a moment. If I was removed from that assembly, if I was removed from that gathering around, would I be amiss like a Priscilla and Aquila? Is my home, am I a couple that gives encouragement and gives guidance and gives teaching and gives doctrinal truth and establishes works? That's what I have in my heart today, is how that we need, we're thankful for, I want to say, first of all, we're so thankful for steadfast couples. Ones that are always there. You never hear of Aquila preaching, by the way. But they were there as a couple. And going forward in the future, yes, we do need those that were able to expound on the Scriptures from the platform. We do need evangelists, but we also need, and we do need elders, but we need couples. Couples that will stand with the truth and be encouragement for where they are. I want to notice something here when it comes to Priscilla and Aquila. How did it all start? It started with a trial. They were kicked out of Jerusalem. They were sent out because they were Jews. They had to go away. Now, could you imagine that for a moment? Any young couple here and you get a knock on the door and you have to leave. You have to leave now. I don't know what they're able to do. Maybe they're able to get a little bit of a couple belongings together, but they didn't take their house with them. It would have been a difficult time. You have to leave everything. You have to get out. They might have been persecuted in the process. And it all began with a trial. What could have been their option? Their option could have been complaining. Their option could have been, why did this happen to me? And to start to, can I say, complain about the circumstances, but instead, they were steady through the circumstances. You don't read of them complaining. You read of them working and continuing to be work, do a work. And there in Corinth, a trial came. I just want to just take a little sideline here for a moment if I can. God works in two ways. I'll make it simple. God works in our lives in a miracle or by His providence. Let me explain the two. In the Old Testament, we see miracles. In the New Testament, we see miracles too. Think of Moses coming to the Red Sea. They need to get to the other side of that Red Sea. So what does God do? He works a miracle. And the miracle happens, and within minutes, they're on the other side of the sea. Well, maybe a little more minutes, but they're on the other side of that Red Sea. They're safe. That was a miracle. Joseph. God wanted to take Joseph from the prison to the throne. Did He do it in a miracle? No, He didn't. He did it by His providence. Multiple experiences after experience, after circumstance, after circumstance, after circumstance. Then the end result came. Joseph on the throne. You look at many other people in the Scriptures. It's God's providence. God working in His care and His love through circumstances to bring an outcome for Him. That's how God works in our lives. Yes, there are occasional miracles, but we're probably not going to be witnesses to many miracles in our lives. But we witness to the providence of God. All the circumstances that come into our life, and as we're faced with them one after another, some joyful, some not so joyful, some difficult, some so deep, dark trials, you think that the darkness is never going to lift. Why? By the providence of God bringing the person so they would have an outcome that He desires. Now, what does Priscilla and Aquila do? I'll take it. I'll move on. I'm going to come into Corinth and I'm going to open my house. Paul, sure, come on in. Apollos, come on in. I'm not going to sit there and complain to Paul and Apollos for what we've been through. I'm going to make sure I'm a stronghold for them. Let's just do a pretend little story here for a moment. Let's say that you have two homes to go to on a Friday night. You've been to these two homes before, and the one home, every time you go there, all they want to do is they want to talk about people and criticize them. Make fun. It gets kind of laughing, a lot of fun going on and so on. And then there's the other home, and you want to go there, and that home, you know what that home is, what you're going to do there, is they're going to talk about the Bible. Which home would you rather go to? Well, I think everybody here would say, well, of course, coming from the platform here, I'd rather go to the home where you're going to talk about the Bible rather than the fun, critical home. But more than that, I want to ask you, what home do you want to be? What couple do you want to be? This couple decided, even though the circumstances are difficult, we will continue. I want to note next that not only that, but they were not shaking the truth, but they were stable in the truth as well. What it must have been like. They quickly became scholars of Paul. Sitting down at the table and they're making tents. And I only can imagine the picture because they didn't have the Word of God. They had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the New Testament. They had some writings here and there, but it wasn't all compiled together. So it's not like they can go to it and memorize it and look at it and study it. What were they doing? They were having conversations. Maybe you and I might think that would be wonderful, having a conversation with Paul. I have a whole bunch of questions I want to ask him. But friend, I think we actually got something more powerful than that. All the compiled, put together New Testament for us of all the different writers. But they quickly became a scholar of Paul. They took the time and to listen and to carefully analyze everything he was saying. They placed value on it. They understood this is essential. This teaching is essential for our personal growth and for our growth together. If we're ever going to be influential in the church to where we are with the people that are around us, we must be grounded in the doctrine of this man right here sitting across the table. They place extreme value on the doctrine of Paul, which is the doctrine of God. So as today, as I think of couples today, as I challenge myself, how much value do I place on the doctrine of the Bible? I have lots of opinions, but instead of turning to second opinions, spend time in 2 Corinthians. I remember an occasion when I was at a conference. And most conversations at conferences, when you get to know people, and this is fine, this is the way it happens, is, how are you? Good. How are you doing? How's your family? Good. That's really good. That's nice. And that's the way conversations happen. And that's a wonderful. Don't think I'm expecting you to change your conversation with me now. I'm saying this as an illustration. But I do remember this one conference I came to, and this couple came up to me, and they said, hi, how are you doing? For about 10 seconds. They said, the man opened the Bible. He said, I just want to show you something my wife and I read this morning. I just want to show you. And he opened the Bible and he read some verses. I sat there and we talked for the whole break. It was late for meeting. What was it? This man was saying, this is so important to us. This is number one for us. We spent time this morning, and this is what we gleaned from it. And we want to take what we've gleaned, and we want to share it with you and encourage you in it. And I can just see Priscilla and Aquila placing so much value on the teachings of Paul. J.I. Packer says this, a doctrine certainly bores the hypocrites, but is only doctrine that will save and keep Christ's sheep. Next, though, they didn't just say, well, this is nice, I can sit and listen to Paul. But they took it the one step further, and they shared it with Apollos. You can see how that they expounded unto him the Word of God. Now, in the book of Acts, the word expounded, or expounding, or that kind of form of a word, is found four times. We read it once already this morning, and I was enjoying what he was saying, is that the basket was out there, and it was Acts chapter chapter 7. And he takes the basket and it says it was cast out. That's the same word as expound. Cast out. And it was brought up this morning how that is cast out. Let God take care of the rest. Cast it out. Let God take care of the rest. And then you come later on, you've got Peter, and he's expounding. What's he doing? He's expounding to a church. Now that church in Jerusalem was having a difficulty with him and all the Gentiles and so on. He expounded onto him his vision. He expounded. What was he doing? He was casting out the doctrine, casting out his teaching, casting out. Let God do the rest. So here you have Peter. He's teaching to the assembly. And then at the end of the chapter, end of the book, you've got Paul. And he's expounding to the lost. So he's casting it out. Casting the word of God. Let God do what God do. God save souls. So you've got expounding in an assembly. Expounding to the lost. But then in this home, and Priscilla and Aquila, you had expounding to one person. So is it necessary to have expounding of the word of God within an assembly? Absolutely. Do we need it? For sure. Do we need the expounding of the gospel in a gospel series? Absolutely. Acts chapter 28. But we need expounding in the homes. We need couples that when young people come into their homes, they're not ashamed to open up the Bible and say, let's just read this together. Let's talk about it. I want to teach you something. I want you to learn and have an honest, strong desire. Then, not only that, but they were sharers with Apostle, with Apollos. They expounded unto him, but also, too, they were strongholds in the assembly. Can't you see that? The church in Corinth was in their house. It was like, if Priscilla and Aquila were taken out of the equation, I wonder how much of the church would be there, would be functioning. They were the strongholds. They were the one that made it kind of come together and made it all work. And so the same could be said of some young couples today. They have a focus on the doctrine of the Word of God, want to share it with others, want to expound with others, and they will become automatically strongholds in the assembly. John Stott says, good conduct arises out of good doctrine. Not only that, but they were stable in the truth, but I also want to talk about how that they were not subjective to others, but they were supportive of others. They were supportive of others. They were steady through the trial. They were stable in the truth and supportive of others. Can you just picture it now? Here they are, and they're listening to this man Apollos preach. And as Apollos is preaching, they're like, wow, he's eloquent. He's got a gift in preaching. And I was like, wait. He's not talking about Jesus. Repentance? That's good. That's good, Apollos, but keep going. And then he sits down. Whoa, something's wrong. Something's wrong here. And I want you. What if you and I were in that situation? What if you and I have done? I know. Maybe I'll put myself in this position. Maybe I would have went, well, you know what? I hope Paul gets a hold of him. You know, it's okay. I think. We probably won't hear much anymore. Maybe we should just discourage him and get him to go somewhere else. Let's just ignore him for a little bit. Maybe that's what I would have done. But not Priscilla and Aquila. They saw it and they said, this man needs teaching. They did not criticize him. They did not take opportunity to push him away. But instead, they took him in onto themselves. And they taught unto him, they expounded unto him the scriptures. They saw the opportunity and they grabbed a hold of it. Dear couples here today, I don't think you have to look very far in your assembly to find out there's opportunities. Opportunities everywhere of a young man, a young sister. And this is what's nice as a couple, by the way. As a couple together, you can mentor a young woman and a young man. And so as a couple together, is there someone who is maybe desiring to learn the Word of God? And maybe they say things and they're just kind of not 100%. And maybe that's your opportunity. I need to take that brother. I need to take that sister into my home. I need to help them out and guide them. They realize it was a necessity. They realize it wasn't something just to say, well, we'll get them next week, later on. No, they realize it was an absolute necessity. It had to be done right at that moment. And so they acted immediately. I want to just, a sideline here again. I want you to bring it back to the Old Testament for a moment. Just think in your mind here now. It says about Moses. God actually told Moses to do this. Moses, I want you to go and encourage Joshua. And so Moses, on two different occasions that I could think of, he came and he got Joshua together and he encouraged him. That word encouraged, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it is actually the same word that is used in regards to the angels in Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember the angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah and they took Lot and his family? Okay. And Lot was lingering and tried to linger and was kind of like wanting to, we can get more people to come with us. Until finally, what does it say? The angels laid hold of them. That's the same word as encouraged. What does that teach me? That teaches me that the word encourage isn't this. Come along, he's a little pat in the back. Good job. Sometimes that's what we think is encouragement, isn't it? Biblically speaking, what is encouragement? It is grabbing hold of somebody and not letting go. Laying hold of somebody and taking them in and mentoring them and helping them and encouraging them and teaching them and strengthening them and providing for them. That's a Priscilla and Aquila. They lay hold of Apollos and brought him in, and we're not going to let him go. And notice what Moses does. How does a person encourage another person? Does Moses sit down with Joshua and say, "Now you listen. This is how I did it. 1, 2, and 3. You do what I do?" No, he didn't do that. What did he say? "Joshua, look what God has done. Look what God has done with this king and that king. Look what God has, how he has brought us." And so the encouragement is encouraging. Nobody can get a big head out of that, can you? All the praise and glory goes to God. And so here is a couple that laid hold of Apollos and acted immediately. They were not going to delay in any way and took him into their home. They were supportive of others. Not only just as supportive of Apollos, but I see they're supportive of Paul. Here they had a home and they were willing to open it up to Paul. Paul come along, and maybe Paul was discouraged at times. Maybe he was broke at times. Always could count on Aquila and Priscilla. Always could count on that home. And what happens when they're in that home? What did they do? You can see them in the home, and Paul's talking about my next journey. This is what I have in my plan. This is what God is guiding me to do. And Aquila and Priscilla says, "Can we go with you? Can we go with you?" See, their support wasn't just from a distance. It was right alongside. And so that's why Paul says, "They laid down their neck for me." And we need to be thankful for them laying down. And he says, "I need to be thankful for what they have done for me. But all do the Gentiles." What a praising of them. Saying, they, all the churches of the Gentiles need to be thankful for this one couple. This one couple that were steadfast, supportive, stable for me. Next, I want to notice the fourth one. They were not self-centered, but they were surrendering of self. They surrendered themselves. It says that they put their neck on the line. What's the very first thing they surrendered? They surrendered their place, their house. They surrendered it all. You think it might have been inconvenient to have these men stay with them? I'm sure it could have been inconvenient. Could have been maybe difficult at times. Having Paul come in and then maybe they had to pay him too. You never know the circumstances and you're like, "Yeah, it could have been inconvenient." But no, they're like, "No, this is for the work of God. I'll surrender my place." When it comes to giving to hospitality, the description of elders and their wives, by the way, I feel that's in both of them. Given to hospitality, that word "given" actually means, it's the same word as given to drunkenness. It's an addiction. Ever thought of hospitality like an addiction? I know there's some saints, and most of the saints, almost all, I'd say all the saints in Portage, I've certainly been enjoying their hospitality. Addicted to it. Can't get enough. I could just see, and I don't know. But maybe Priscilla and Aquila had a lot more than just these two men in their home. They were addicted to it. Not only did they surrender their place, but they surrendered their plan. They went with Paul and all that. You can't just pick up and go. But they did. They surrendered their plan, and then they surrendered their prosperity. They were humble people. John Newton says, "I am persuaded that love and humility are the highest attainments in the school of Christ and the brightest evidences that He is indeed our Master." You notice some things about this couple, though, that we do not know. How old was this couple? Do you know? Maybe you have some age in your mind. Maybe they're in their 30s. Maybe they're in their 50s. Maybe they were in their 20s. Maybe they were in their 80s. We don't know. We don't know. How many children did this couple have? Did they have zero? Or did they have a dozen? We don't know. I think it's really important to understand why God leaves things out of the Bible. Because if this couple was in their 60s and they had two kids, then I would quickly say, well, that's not me. It doesn't apply to me. But it doesn't tell us. So we can all fit into this mold of a couple for Christ. Friend, dear Christian, this is what we need going forward. Young men, young sisters, find a partner that you'll be able to work with this in mind. Young couples here today, whether you've got no children or 20 children, whether you are just starting off the starting blocks off your marriage, or whether you've been on the road for 50 years, you can still fit this mold. You can still come in to enjoy the principles of this couple that's behind the book of Acts. And you could be the same for where you are today. Maybe you've heard of the couple called Philip and Lucy Bliss. Philip and Lucy Bliss, they wrote hymns for D.L. Moody. They did a lot of singing for him, led his singing. They wrote hymns like Almost Persuaded, Hallelujah, What a Savior, Wonderful Words of Life. They wrote the tune for It Is Well With My Soul. On December 29th, 1876, they're on a train coming home from coming back to Chicago from seeing their family. The train was crossing a bridge in the snow. As it was crossing the bridge in the snow, heavy snow, the bridge collapsed. And the train went down with it 75 feet into the valley. It caught fire. That couple, Philip, worked his way out of the train, was safe, realized his wife was not safe. He went back into the train, tried to get her out, and in the process, they both passed away. Their luggage arrived unharmed. They opened up his suitcase, and there were the words to I Will Sing of My Redeemer. 12,000 people showed up to their funeral. 12,000 people. On his tombstone it says this: P.P. Bliss, Hold the Fort. He wrote a hymn called Hold the Fort, but that's what they put on it, Hold the Fort. D.L. Moody said very high things about them. He described them as a couple for Christ. Very influential in the work that he was involved in. I challenge myself just as much as I challenge anybody else here today. Am I like a Priscilla and Aquila? Am I a couple for Christ?